This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
This is Burr Martin of the Burr Martin Experience Podcast, or Selfie Dad as I'm known around the internet. Now, I could tell you all about my podcast by throwing in some special effects or sound bites, but I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm a busy man, brother. I'm a C-minus internet celebrity. Look, I've worked in radio for over 12 years. I've produced about 15 different shows. I worked in a comic book shop. I've done stand-up, hosted events, and I was even voted Hero of the Week in the UK. My podcast is co-hosted by my wife, and we talk about anything and everything. And occasionally, one of our three kids will interrupt to tell us what's going on in their generation. We talk about celebrities, politics, pop culture, and news stories you've probably never heard about. All right, we're radio friendly and we try and keep things upbeat. So join me every week for the Burr Martin Experience Podcast here on the Pants Pending Studios Network. That's Burr Martin. So put a BM in your podcast catcher today and it'll be who wrote the poop joke? I am a C-minus internet celebrity. Which one of you writers wrote that? You go back and you work for Late Night with Chevy Chase. That won't fly here.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
If whoever tosses the midget the furthest gets to be the mayor.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington. This is the social hour. On today's show, comedians Sam Vinovich and Lucas Prom. And now your host. Ready to start his summer of love, Deese Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another great episode. We appreciate you taking a listen. Guys, as per the new resolution with the show, new way the show's going, no Sophie, no Jeremy. They will be floating in and out of the studio kind of randomly moving forward. We may have some kind of random guest host, things like that. But now it's just me talking to people, going to twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays instead of just Wednesdays. So we appreciate you guys listening and spreading the word, spreading the mirth, and letting people know. As always, go to Patreon.com/PantsPending. You can do a one-time donation or subscribe to all the behind-the-scenes content to the network. We have the never-ending random discussion. We have Nerd as usual, and also we have the brand new podcast Trading Pages. Make sure and go take a listen to that one, support them, follow them on Facebook and all that. All right, guys, in studio today, for the last time for a while, Sam Vinovich. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, pretty good, Deese. How are you?
I'm doing great. And also a mainstay staple, a guy who didn't realize that they've opened up the barbershops, Lucas Prom. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hello.
Good to see you guys. I haven't seen much of anyone except for a few choice people the last few months.
Your real friends, we get
my
it.
Real friends.
Side pieces.
Yeah, no, yeah. Dude, everyone stopped. Like, they act like there's a goddamn world global pandemic.
I drive by your house all the time.
Everyone's like social distancing from me.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Here's the deal.
I feel so alone.
I don't believe coronavirus falls in the same category.
Oh, you just got demonetized.
Alcohol poisoning for me. I don't think it exists because I for sure would have gone. And with AIDS, I'm going to put AIDS, alcohol poisoning, coronavirus.
No, that's
in the same fucking thing. I for sure would have had all those if any of them are fucking real. They're just propaganda by the CIA, and I'm done with that shit.
Are you in the targeted age range for that? Are you that old?
For which one?
Corona, yeah. Are you that?
That's why he's a denouncer of all those things.
Yeah,
is because
I'm not in the age range or the,
He's in that sweet 36 to, what is it, 36 to 84,
right.
I think, is what the age group is.
Don't worry, Sam.
You and I are in the 26 to 35. We're good.
In the last 3 months, I've been in several airports. I've been in 8 states. I've been in so many different places, traveling everywhere. I've gone to...
That sounds like old people.
Protests with thousands of people at them. And I don't have shit. So I'm not worried about it. I think it's...
You don't know. You haven't been
tested.
Well,
I'm not worried about it personally.
Yeah. It's fucking... I don't know. I think it's... I'm not... It's...
Like what? The most highest prediction model was like 1% of the population, though.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Well, they've come out now and said essentially... Basically, they think we all have it. We all basically have it. Just most of
us
are asymptomatic, and asymptomatic people won't pass it on. So, yeah, it's like The Walking Dead. It's the virus. We all have it.
Just waiting for us to die.
Well, I don't think most of us have it. It's just most of us will end up being asymptomatic.
They're actually saying like a lot of people just have it and are asymptomatic. A lot of people get it.
Well, we don't know because there's no testing in this country.
Well, if we tested people, then we'd have more people that have it. We don't want that.
Jesus Christ. It's fucking stack paradox or whatever, the clump of sand paradox
right.
or whatever. When does it stop becoming a heap or whatever? It's so ridiculous. Like the whole not testing for it thing. I guess from what I'm trying to figure out from what you're saying is right now we're just in the state of it being just like the flu.
It's way less. I mean, God, what'd they say? 60,000 people in America die every year from the flu, something like that? Or 65,000 people?
Well, it's your demographic. I mean, you would know. So
yeah,
let us
the
know
flu. Well,
the 80
the,
plus.
The Spanish flu.
The Spanish flu, yeah. It's like, why?
The Spanish fly.
God, I knew you were going
there,
too.
That's how you get
too.
AIDS. The,
do they even sell that anymore?
AIDS?
Can you get
fly?
That?
Yeah. I think so. Probably a Spencer's.
I bet there's like
Spanish
a gas
fly.
Station somewhere, and in the bathroom there's one in there still like from the 80s, and I bet that smells just great.
Yeah, I bet it just gets you.
Because
like
that's what it is,
like
right? It's supposed to be like
camp.
A cologne, right?
I don't know, man.
You're talking
unfortunately,
about
I don't know a lot about date rape drugs. not as much as I'd like to.
Oh, wait, are they supposed to drink it?
I think it was like a liquid, and then it would make the girl like super horny.
Right, like an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys
for the term super horny.
You guys are totally taking this social distancing. For everyone that can't see this, which is everybody, it is Deese and Sam
I
hanging out next to each other, and I am 18 feet away.
He's on the roof.
So there's 3 people in the room. I have to be
really,
18
really,
feet.
Really long microphone arm.
Yeah. But it just seems like these two assholes don't like me is really what it is, and they're making it an age thing.
An age thing. Yeah, you just said it was an age thing. You're the one who was, I mean, listen, you guys, are you under 30 still?
I'm 30.
You are 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't get any better. actually, it does. It gets way better, turns out.
So
I love it so much more.
So the thing, like with my health, I have an autoimmune disease.
You
so
have health?
I yeah.
You don't look like health.
No. I'm not the peak of health. Whatever Grizzly
What if this
Adams,
was your peak of health?
Yeah.
This is the best.
What if I am peak health right
you're,
now.
You're
like,
sliding.
Like
everything after this.
Oh, God. Test results in a couple days. But as far as like having any sort of disease or autoimmune issue, it's just stuff you would be doing during flu season anyway.
Yeah.
So my life hasn't changed crazy amount. I wear masks when I go to most doctor's offices anyway, usually just to let you know. I mean,
do you in general?
I didn't know you were such a pussy.
And then a gimp suit and and the whole rest of the thing.
So what I mean, That so yeah, you've kind of been a little more weary then, I guess, if you've got the autoimmune thing. But you're doing deliveries and in and out of places and all that shit.
Yeah, because of the work thing. Trying to work. So
okay,
it's stupid. I wear gloves and I wear a mask. I have been for the last.
I wear glove. I wear mask.
I wear glove.
I am Lucas.
Does anyone
that is me? I also wear shoes.
Do either of you guys know anyone who got coronavirus?
I don't know.
No, you would know.
I don't know. I deleted all my social media, so I don't know if I would know.
but you've never heard from, like, no one you know has said anything.
No one's reached out to me.
Well, you know, you should get checked.
Hey, just so
you,
yeah. This is awkward, but.
I know someone who passed away, and it was up in the air, who was elderly.
Okay.
And it was up in the air. And then
they probably marked him as it just because
Donald Trump actually came to the funeral and said, we're not going to be doing any testing. And it turns out no coronavirus there.
Okay. Well, Trump said so. So that's
yeah.
All
if
takes.
You don't test for it, that's how it works.
0%.
No, seriously. Like I delivered food to an old folks home, and even there they haven't seen it, like
that,
and that's a petri dish of that's where it would live, so it's like a microcosm of like just the worst autoimmune systems, and they're doing fine with the same
thing. I saw some statistic and I don't remember it, so I'll just make it sound as crazy as possible, but like 50% of deaths in the U.S. from coronavirus have been in nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the actual percentage.
Yeah,
but it was something like that.
I was
just like, oh,
I
shit.
I was agreeing to the...
But it's also like, they're the ones that kind of...
Yeah.
Well, didn't they say that the average age of people dying from coronavirus was older than the average age people actually die in America? Like, literally, like, people
sure.
are... It's elderly. It's people who are affected, people who are probably on death's door anyway.
Right.
And like,
and then there was like one 33-year-old that went like on a ski trip that died from it. And they're like, you young people.
Yeah, you got to watch out.
Yeah.
He broke his neck, but he was Asian, so he probably had it.
Jesus Christ. They're just
his
gonna
ski
mark
shot
all
through
the...
his forehead, but he had corona,
just
too.
They're going to mark all deaths that happened during this.
Well, they've been doing
some people think that.
When you think about it, in 200 years, they fucking might as well. What would we do during the bubonic plague? Like, when we talked about someone who died during the bubonic plague, they were like,
I think we have a little more thorough systems in place than back
then. Yeah, fucking.
Well,
think?
they've legitimately been.
It's the same.
Marking deaths as coronavirus if someone has it, but not necessarily wasn't the cause of death. You know, they have other symptoms, so they're marking because they're getting paid more to mark. That's not possible, or that's not a maybe. That's actually happening.
From a research standpoint, like, so it can be on a statistic, so that it can further.
Well, Medicaid is literally paying more to doctors who mark it as a coronavirus death.
Okay.
Like, that's insane, right? Like, that's so crazy that it's.
But I mean, that's like we have that problem all over our country, where it's just you see that, you hear that with police all the time, where they have to meet a certain amount of
a quota,
a quota, or if they go to a quota, they get, you know, extra cash into their pockets.
It is very much that, actually, because like a lot of doctors and hospitals, the way they operate and the way they get funding, keep funding, and save lives is. Meeting.
By killing,
becoming a rapist,
doctor killer,
is being a teenage doctor. But
I gotta tell you, I've been watching a lot of Doogie Howser.
Doogie Howser was great, but that's what inevitably saves lives in the long run. So for them to mark it as that, and it's like. Yeah, it's money, but it's also, it's like, that's kind of probably the way things were for other illnesses and things. Someone can have cancer and then they pass, usually it's from, they have cancer and get pneumonia. Pneumonia killed them, but they put it as a cancer death. So the statistic goes up, so there's more research in cancer.
Yeah, although they just cut funding. Trump just cut funding to the coronavirus.
Dude,
vaccine.
I stopped watching the news for like 45 minutes today, and I literally... It was so nice, and
dude, I don't follow the news at all.
Well, here's
the deal. I read headlines.
Dude, I used to be like that.
The farther this goes, I think this is all just one big cover up for a complete economic collapse. Because we've gone into a time where it's just fucking insane, right? Like. The only money they're once again just putting, it's like 2008. They're once again just bailing out the companies who got us in this place in the first place. All this money's $4 trillion they put back in.
I know, and the most they can give to citizens is $1,200 a piece.
Yeah. Do you know what their plan was? Do you know what they're doing?
You're like how they're bailing out the banks.
So their plan, the Treasury Department has the discretion to mint new coins at any time at their discretion, right? So their plan is they're going to mint two $1 trillion platinum coins. So each coin's going to be worth $1 trillion. There'll be two of them.
Very cool.
Okay. Yeah. I smell a new national treasure movie.
Yeah, yeah. That would look good on your wall. Right,
then what they do, where does that $2 trillion platinum coin, fucking, we just make it up. It's just platinum, and it's worth $1 trillion each, definitely.
It's like a YouTube play button.
Then what the Treasury Department does is they sell it to the National Reserve at an inflated rate, then the National Reserve can now loan 200% on each trillion. So that's $4 trillion they can now loan and give out to these large companies. It's like, it's a shell game. You're just creating money and then moving over here. It's such a fucking nightmare. And, you know, Sam said, we just...
is like giving me an ulcer right
that,
now.
That's legitimately like, that's, happening. Like, that's what our country is basing.
That information is curing my hemorrhoids, so it gives and it takes.
Meanwhile, over in Deese's elderly land, doing great. All this information is feeding.
Listen, I've got
that's
Medicare.
Why old
I'm
people
care
love
of.
The news.
It's insane. We've gone into a crazy time, and it's just $1,200. So we might get a second one. Then they're talking about in this next stimulus package. The idea is they want to give $4,500. Travel credits to people.
I saw that. Like, what are you talking about?
Stimulate that economy.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
guys can't see this, but my hand's moving.
Well,
this is what it is.
Here's the best
money
part.
Keeps moving.
It's all... You could, you can't travel internationally with it. It's all domestically.
Europe's like talking about passing laws to stop U.S. travelers abroad right now because we're doing so poorly.
with handling
the coronavirus.
We can't travel outside America with this credit anyway. And like, also, everywhere's still closed. Where do you want us to go? And we don't have money to travel
just
or
like,
jobs.
Yeah, and,
like,
you can't
go fly and hang out in Dallas.
You can't go to a tourist trap because
I always wanted
it's
to go
a
to
public
Lincoln,
place.
Nebraska. You're right. And if you go there, it's
with
all
a
closed.
Large population, they're closing parks, and it's so funny to me that like people going to parks that are like sometimes closed or whatever, like. The fact that people are getting out of the house now, it took this, like just that whole thing. It's just funny. It's like, hey, social distance, stay inside. Well, we can't be inside all the time. Let's go to the park. Everybody's at the fucking park.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. Like as the it's a smaller version of like the travel thing you said. Yeah, where are you gonna go? You're gonna go to a place with more people. So you're touring airports. Great.
Right. Great. Now you're going through Yeah.
You
it's
get,
like
you
we
get, you get to see Denver and Salt Lake City's the airport. Great.
Yeah. In Washington State, for example, just, you know, they started like, being more lenient. And then all of a sudden, cases spike like crazy. Like, all right, everyone put on your fucking masks again. Texas and Florida just. Closed all their bars again. Washington State may not be far behind that if the cases don't get under control again.
I mean, I think it's going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
There's going to be a second spike. And Well, or a second, not even a spike, a second wave.
Isn't that just the trajectory of
pandemics? Yeah. No, exactly. So there are these people that are just like, oh, see, this is what happens when you don't put your mask on, you don't social distance, it's going to come back. We could have killed it by now. It's like, no, that was never going to happen. Yeah. We were doing that to slow down the cases so the hospitals weren't overwhelmed. Yes. Yeah, there's always going to be a second wave. Or not always, but there's always like a 90% chance there's going to be a second wave, because that's how all these pandemics play out.
Yeah. Are you a doctor? If that doctor dies, are you going to take his place? Just put on the fucking mask. It's going to happen. That's exactly true. You guys hear me?
But I don't know. But I also understand, like, dude, if you like have been just like cooped up in your house for the past 3-4 months and like you lost your job and stuff, you're gonna go crazy if you don't get out a little bit. Like, there is mental health aspects to it where it's like, I get that, like, but it's just be smarter about it. And I don't know, like, if they implemented something that could help people to do that in a safer way.
It's funny because it's all the same too, because it's like people are taking more frequent trips to the grocery store because you're not able to buy as much.
So
then it's increasing like people's chances of going into contact.
Are there still a lot of limits on shopping? I honestly haven't been to the grocery store in a long time.
It's on like the same item. Some things might get lifted and then change, or it might go from 1 to 2, 2 to 1. But it's still the same. Yeah, toilet paper, hand sanitizer. I mean, now there's like wherever they're like. Now that it's been so long, it's just so crazy that...
Dude, I want to get a bidet. That's what I've been thinking about.
I told Dees a while ago, I was like, I wish we just invested into, like, the container of hand sanitizer, just whatever that plastic was.
Just the lid.
This
is the company
right
that makes
that.
Because
at this point, we've been doing this so long, now there's companies that are producing all this shit. Like, did anyone see the infomercial for the giant shield? It looks like basically a welder's mask. A clear welder's mask, where it's like you're also supposed to wear a mouth like the N95 mask.
Well, I think it's because wearing a mask stops you from spreading, but you can still, because you're still breathing air, and I think the plastic mask is supposed to like stop that.
But a lot of jobs opening up over this.
what have you guys been doing during the quarantine to stay busy? You've had 3 months of.
I'm essential worker, baby.
All right.
So I've just been working.
What have the policies been changing at the hotel? Has it been as busy or?
No, it's definitely been slower. And like the company I work for manages 4 hotels, and 2 of them are temporarily shut down because of business.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been slower. And you know, yeah, we have masks that we wear and we have hand sanitizer everywhere. We don't like put out coffee and stuff like that, but like I'm the night shift. So like my job hasn't changed that much at all, but, it's about to change.
Yeah.
So I'm quitting.
You're quitting. You're leaving, right?
I'm leaving.
That's the exciting news. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so stoked. I'm like fucking ready to get out of the Pacific Northwest. Lived here my whole life, and I'm just like tired of winter, tired of
seeing
everyone that I know.
Yeah.
So tell us about what you're doing and where you're going.
I'm moving to San Diego, California.
That's San Diego. Okay.
Yep, that's San Diego. Okay, north of it, in the suburbs. I'm moving to San Diego. I got a job in the solar industry.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that working with the sun?
Yeah.
Is that fair to call
his management team? Yeah.
His management team?
Yeah, the sun.
Just wait that's till those coal jobs knock you out of business, man. Yeah. You're fucking on the sun.
The sun.
Solar.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. It's going to be like my first big boy job.
Yeah.
Because I've basically just worked like manual labor or customer service all my 20s. So,
you didn't go down to San Diego to look at a place, did you? Or did you remotely?
Nope. I've gotten in this job through friends working at that company.
You're gonna get catfished so hard.
Yeah.
You're gonna go there.
Yeah. Like one of my best friends from high school. He's totally catfishing me. No, I got a friend down there I'm gonna move in with. So.
Oh, okay. So you're not. Yeah. A total blind. Have you been to San Diego before?
Never been to California.
Never been to California.
Nope.
San Diego.
Fuck those people.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Moving up to Idaho, ruining everything.
Yeah.
I'd never fucking move to Idaho, that's for sure.
That's where Republican Californians love to move to.
It's Montana,
too. It's odd, yeah.
Dude, because they'll sell their fucking shitbox home in California for, like,
ranch.
$2 million, yeah. Come up here and be like, oh, it's perfect.
And they buy, like, fucking ranches.
Yeah.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Aaron Paul, fucking...
Aaron Paul's from Idaho.
Is he?
Yeah,
is
he's
he
from the he's from the valley in Idaho.
Oh.
Yeah, the Silver Valley.
Okay, well, I just saw on the whatever new rendition of Cribs they're doing now for YouTube, but
I loved Cribs.
Yeah. Jesus, what a terrible show.
Dude, no. Method Man, his was the best. Or was it Redman?
Redman,
he had to put the wires together for the doorbell. Yeah. He's had a shoebox of cash on his fridge.
Dude, I know every fucking episode
of
that.
Most of those places weren't even theirs. It came out that they
no,
like, were like rented.
But at least Redman made entertainment.
I was 13 and it was just like, oh my god.
Dude,
that's awesome.
Like DJ Khaled, you could see all the people like wearing the footies, like it was definitely a rented house, like crime scene footies, like so they don't leave, like they definitely.
What's that guy's deal? He seems like a dipshit.
DJ Khaled.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him.
All he does is point at the ceiling and say another one.
Okay,
and
he thinks James Brown did. If James Brown didn't have any talent.
Okay, so he thinks he's like some fucking...
He thinks he's like a pop director of all fronts. But really, he's not even a producer. He just gets names in a room and...
Doesn't he produce music? I thought he was a producer. Like kind of like made beats.
Well, he's like the new little John.
He's more like a director.
I hear DJ and I just thought like he like literally like played music at like fancy parties.
I think he's like the new little John.
Little John could rap.
Little John never spit over. DJ Khaled is like he's like a personality and he's a big personality and he gets people together in all these songs and they're his songs, but he doesn't actually
a YouTube video, like a video he made where he got pulled over and he like filmed himself and he was just being a dickhead.
There's the Snapchat thing where Snapchat was in its infancy and he was one of the first people on it.
Oh,
and he was like sponsored and that was
so
like,
he got in with the kids
pushed.
When
and he got lost, like he's Snapchatting like he's on a
Sea-Doo.
Yeah, and he's just in the middle of the water with a smartphone and not knowing where he's going.
Have you seen the show Hot Ones?
Yeah.
So where they eat hot wings and interview.
Evans, yeah.
So DJ, my favorite episode of that is DJ Khaled is on there,
he
taps out after like the first one, and he goes, "This is what he said. This is how much of a fucking pompous blowhard that guy is." He goes, "I just want you to know, just because I'm quitting doesn't mean I gave up."
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Just,
like,
you don't know words.
Like, I don't know.
Just because I changed arranged the words in a different way doesn't mean I said the same thing.
Yeah, you're like, what are you talking?
That's the thing. That like I've seen like you know four clips of him saying dumb shit like that,
yeah,
and I'm just like, why? How does this guy have money?
You should run for president.
And people defend it. Like the defense is he didn't understand the show. But
how do you not understand the show?
Exactly. Like, I could see you going in for an interview, your PR team or whatever, being like, hey, it's a show where you eat hot wings. And because those words had to have got into his head that he's eating.
I feel, dude, I and feel like it, someone I like think
that's in the title. That, you have to that make
dude,
that leap.
That dude, though, is probably just so delusional and rich. Like, stuff goes in one ear, out the other. He only, like, selective hearing type shit.
I don't know. I feel unless like it has.
Like, he probably heard YouTube interview.
Jesus Christ. We could just replace DJ Khaled with Trump. It'd
I
be
feel
the
like
same
he's the type of guy, though, that definitely pays attention when you say, like, eating wings. Like he starts to focus.
That's not a weight.
Like, wait,
thing.
What? Okay,
that's not even a weight thing. I for those like Snapchat promos he was doing, he was like getting these barbecue places catered, and he would talk about hot sauce and stuff, and people like there was like this meme of people like filling up his plate, like people would fill up a plate, and it was like a tray, so it's like. It's not a stretch that he doesn't understand like even the smallest part of an eating competition or an eating
challenge.
Takes, yeah.
the guy's a fucking moron. I don't know. I can't.
He doesn't like to exchange oral sex.
Well, who does
the whole thing?
No, I just want to give
so
it.
So icky
who
down
gets
there.
It? Ugh,
yeah,
gross.
Yeah, I know. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, it is weird. Mm.
Any way you slice it,
if you're slicing it, you're doing it wrong.
Just
you will have to introduce me on how to properly understand this metaphor.
So when Sam's in studio, we usually talk movies. There's been very few movies, no movies that have hit the theaters, obviously, for the last few months. It sounds like some theaters may be opening up soon with some restrictions. But a lot of movies hit the, you know, streaming services.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of other movie stuff happening. Did you watch any movies that hit the streaming services early or due to COVID?
I watched Spike Lee's new Netflix movie, The Five Bloods.
That's on in my queue. I haven't watched it yet.
I was not into it. Did you see it, Lucas?
No, I
didn't. I thought it was just like a fucking big, giant, bloated mess. It was just like...
I feel like Spike Lee
tonally all over the place. Yeah.
That sounds like Spike Lee, and it probably was Rush for some topical reason. I really didn't have any instrument or interest in watching it. Although I really like Black Klansman. I thought that was great.
I like Black Klansman too. I think it kind of like is pretty messy though. But this one is just like, this movie's like 2 hours and 45 minutes long. Like it's supposed to be as epic, and the action fucking sucks. The special effects are terrible. It's just like super choppy and sporadic. I was not into it.
Yeah.
And like whatever, like it's getting good reviews, and I feel like it totally is because of the time it's being released, where it's just like people want to praise black artists right now.
Right. There's definitely
and it's just like,
woke
it,
points.
And I think, and that's not to say like obviously Spike Lee is one of the most prominent black artists in the world right now, or of the last 30
decades,
years.
Yeah.
And not to say he didn't make good
great
movies.
Yeah. I mean, like, Do the Right Things, like, a hugely important movie. But,
Malcolm X.
He did the Super?
Didn't he do the Super?
I don't think so. But no. I've also never seen that movie.
Sure?
I've just heard about it.
With Danny, Danny DeVito, with Joe Pesci.
I don't think
for
so.
For some reason, I thought he
I don't know.
He did The Pest, right? What with John Leguizamo.
Look it up, but
maybe not.
Malcolm X is great.
I haven't
obviously
seen that. It's
Do
in
the
my
Right
queue.
Thing
yeah.
is great. I love Black Klansman, but then he has these periods of like the remake of Old Boy, terrible, completely misguided.
Yeah.
Don't watch it.
Well, that to me that seemed like his one for them movie, like the studio put him on it.
Yeah, and yes, it sounded like that even in interviews because he didn't seem very passionate about it, mm-hmm. or even like he knew the source material.
Oh, He Got Game.
And
not super into He Got Game. I watched that for the first time a couple months ago.
It's a great soundtrack.
God, you know he has.
It's way too like.
Yikes.
Prominent in the film.
Really?
Oh yeah, just it was like annoying.
Well, that's kind of his thing,
though. No, that's totally his thing. Yeah, he does that a lot where it's just, yeah, he'll throw that stuff front and center.
Wow, he has made
a ton.
Damn near a movie a year
yep.
since 86. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how many of these movies I could have named. I mean, She's Got to Have It, School Days, Do the Right Thing, Mo Betta Blues, Jungle Fever, Malcolm X, Crooklyn, Clockers, Girl 6, Get on the Bus. He got Game, Summer of Sam, Bamboozled. Summer of Sam,
I remember liking that too, but I've only seen it on TV when I was a kid.
There's a lot of in here that I'm just like, you get into the 2000s and it's just movies I never
like, there is one called Saint Anna or something, it's really bad.
Miracle at St. Anna.
Yeah, his attempt at war movie,
which was made through Walt Disney Studios.
Yeah, it deterred me from watching his newer movie because he cannot film action.
Here's an interesting.
I've heard Inside Man's good, and that's like a heist movie.
And Inside Man, I liked a lot.
I haven't seen it though.
Remember when
we liked Clive Owen? Yeah. Why doesn't Clive Owen get like steady work anymore?
I don't know.
Did he say something? I don't know.
Because Children of Men.
I feel like he fell off before the Me Too stuff.
You know what I think it could have been is he
is just too good looking.
Kind of the last time he was really was around Sin City. I wonder if that tanked him somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Sin City was a pretty big movie, wasn't it? And then the sequel was like dog
terrible.
Shit.
Oh, yeah.
But,
no, that's...
Like the last thing I remember seeing Clive Owen in was the TV show The Nick. Which was fucking... The first season is awesome.
The Mick?
The Nick. It's about the Knickerbocker Hospital in New York at the turn of the century. Steven Soderbergh. The first season's fucking awesome. And Clive Owen's amazing.
Yeah, I want to check it out. Yeah, Clive Owen's great. I really like him. And
he's been in a lot
he's
of
in
movies
one of my
in
favorite movies. He was
in Gemini
Children
Man.
Of Men.
He was in Gemini Man.
I haven't seen Children of Men.
That was terrible. Gemini Men was terrible. Children of Men.
It's supposed to be amazing.
It's
yeah,
exceptional. Yes, definitely check it out if you're a fan. Of
it's fucking Alfonso what's his face? Cuaron. But that movie seems so different than the stuff I've seen of his.
Alfonso.
Yeah, Cuaron. Children of Men. Like it's like dystopian fucking. Future and
it's the same, and it's also the same director of photography as The Revenant. So Emmanuel,
he's into the long shot.
I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it wrong. And there is the two shots in the movie.
I've heard about them.
There's a 12 minute and an 18 minute.
This is just something I'm looking at. I'm looking at Spike Lee's filmography. He really hasn't. All his movies are consistently each movie after another is with a different studio. Like he could never. You think he was doing well too, or like something's going on? Like why are you constantly? The biggest in 89, 90, 91, which arguably is his probably kind of heyday. He did three movies with Universal Pictures. Then he did Malcolm X with Warner Brothers. Then after that, it was just like bounced around from Universal, 20th Century, Sony, Buena Vista, New Line Cinemas. You know, he kind of went back and doubled down, you know, 10, 15 years later with us, you know, Sony again or something.
I think he had his own production company for a time.
So he's just getting money from wherever. Yeah, just from bigger places.
Yeah, I think he's doing the...
One of those things that you'd think like...
M. Night Shyamalan thing.
But like, I mean, a guy like Tarantino, who's like, he's...
I'm Miramax.
Kills it out the gate. So like
that's
they're
Miramax.
Gonna, but I mean, you know, you'd think...
Aside from
you think if it was... work. Let, everyone likes.
Let's be
honest,
together. It's because he's black.
Wait, Spike Lee's black? it's a weird. It's just. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen many of his movies, and then I kind of went on a little streak there leading up to the Five Bloods release, and I like what I've seen. I haven't like loved anything by him that I've seen though, and. It's always just, there's always just a little something that bugs me about it. I don't think he's a very good actor, and he always puts himself in the movies. And and it's like you can tell he's just one of those nerdy pervert directors where it's like, oh, I never got laid growing up, so now that I'm making a movie, there's always going to be a scene with a naked woman that I'm a part of.
Yeah,
just like, you fucking little nerd pervert.
I get to date Rosie Perez.
In this movie. Rub ice cubes on her body as she cries.
I could see that. It's definitely an important filmmaker, and definitely I think he's made more good movies than inferior movies.
I don't know. It sounds like he's made a shit ton of movies. So he might have actually made a bunch of bad movies, but his good ones are good enough.
I've seen a lot of them, but like, yeah, I mean, I know he pumps them out.
I didn't realize how prolific he was. But you know, I mean, that like, who knows? It's a different take. I guess he's just cranking them out instead of, you know, doing that thing where it takes 6 years to, you know, craft something together.
But that's also not like, that's more common though. That like what Tarantino's doing, it's kind of changing a little, but it is more common for a director to come out with something like every year. I mean, it definitely, like, if you look at,
I mean, I think like for a certain level of director, it's more common for them to make a movie every couple years or every year versus, but I don't know. I think it's also just like slowing down to a point just because of it, theaters and or moviegoers in general.
And now
theaters are going to be fucking dead.
They, I think, are just going to turn into lofts or places where people just assume that germs accumulate.
I think what's probably going to happen is like a bunch of these chains are going to die, and then it's just going to be kind of those more more craft,
like drive-in, pop-up,
or like once everything calms down, it's going to be those smaller boutique theaters where it's like you get a big fucking chair and we serve to be there for the cinephile that wants to pay the extra money to have that experience.
Alamo supposed to be like the epic.
I'm fucking surprised, though, that, like, no one's boycotted them. One of the main guys, he got Me Too'd, and they said that they...
Like, an owner?
Kind of, he was, like, the face of it for them. Oh. He was this critic, Devin Fauci.
Okay.
He got Me Too'd, like, years ago, and then it turned out that they were secretly still had him on the page. Some other stuff about him, too, and it just sounded like the owners were just, like, bad management.
Yeah.
And but business more than their fucking own moral value.
Well, Jesus Christ, the same people who will still nominate later in fucking France, you know, can't get extra.
She apologized. She forgave him.
Multiple times, more than the piano. He'd been nominated.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the most recent. No, he never came back to America.
He never has.
No, I thought he was, or maybe he was just stopped.
He like went to France
He was in Canada. Maybe. I could be way off.
I remember reading his people asked, like, hey, it's been like 40 years. Still like, fuck no.
Yeah.
If you come in here, we're going for it.
Right.
Well, yeah. I just wait.
Have you guys... I've been going through...
Like Jaws?
Like Superman Returns.
Superman Returns?
I think Lucas especially will be into this, but I watch, because I know he's a... Yeah, I hadn't seen that in a long time. You ever watch that, Sam? Original?
I haven't.
Any Hitchcock? You do Hitchcock?
Watch him, but I don't know that I actually have, though.
Yeah, Psycho, North by Northwest, it's, for me, are his... The Man Who Knew Too Much.
I like Vertigo.
I was going to say Vertigo's a big one.
Rear Window. That's probably my favorite. It's up there with Vertigo, Rear Window. Directors, he really doesn't have... it's like Hitchcock and Kubrick. Like, really didn't...
Early Kubrick's pretty rough.
Really? You think Paths of Glory?
No, what's the other one?
Linden was... I mean, it's regarded great now, but it was pan.
Yeah.
Lolita is a troubling subject matter. Spartacus and Paths of Glory, and I really like both of them.
Watch Fear and Desire. Rough and
well,
terrible.
You know, it's...
Well, I mean, Kubrick can't be boring, because that's what he
boring.
Meant.
He's not boring. You're stupid.
Yeah,
you just don't get it.
I like him. I like him just fine.
Yeah.
You're
I'm super hyped for it. It looks fucking cool, but theatrical release because he's that fucking 4K fucking nerd like that.
Well, doesn't he
has
film
to be
it
shot
like
on film,
right? Well, he shoots a lot of IMAX and stuff.
Yeah, okay, that's what. Yeah,
and he shoots on film and all that.
Change
and,
of aspect ratio.
And I think he, I don't know. I kind of get the feeling that he wanting a big release because.
Christopher Nolan being egotistical that way, you get out of here.
That's yeah, I do. I mean, it's definitely already. I can tell you right now, it's better than Interstellar. I know, that's why I said the Martian was a much better movie.
Oh, I don't like.
Like the subject matter he keeps touching on with his own movies, like Interstellar. Well, it's like he had one idea and wrote three movies.
He's
about
just like
it.
He's like obsessed with time.
He is an original.
That's what I like about him. That, like,
and he wants the Curse of Waterworld.
Right. Yeah.
That was the last where and he's trying to bring it back, and he really is in the billions. Tarantino always triples his 80 million, still big, except for Grindhouse, still big budget, yeah. You know, but...
That After Effects shit, that, I mean, that type of
well,
stuff.
He's kind of like...
Well, he wants
kind
it where he can, wherever he can do it, he wants to do it. Way more spectacle, and so that just costs
more. Summer blockbuster.
That just costs more than more low-key way.
Nolan is like kind of your high summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
Where Tarantino is like a films with a big budget kind. He's still making that feels like a smaller film.
Yeah.
Set piece driven like Nolan's.
Right.
And we would have to put in the conversation, obviously, to go because he would be the only other director that's kind of artsy with quotes enough to make big budget movies.
Well,
but he's also
Denis Villeneuve.
Well,
he's the new old artsy-fartsy blockbuster guy.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I've liked a lot of his movies.
I love his movies.
I think Arrival,
Sicario, Blade Runner 2049. People love Prisoners, but I think that movie's kind of a mess.
No,
I've only seen it once, though.
Prisoners isn't.
Arrival was one of my favorite movies that year.
I liked Arrival quite a bit.
I'm trying to think. Did they? I mean, he's still making movies, so they made enough money. I'm just wondering if they made like a bit. Because I remember directors that made it. Like Justice League made, it's $670 million.
It was a failure because they project a certain amount, right?
Well, yeah,
because
they didn't get that Snyder cut.
Wait. Obviously, Fincher.
Whedon and stuff, they fucking saturated the color of that thing crazy.
Yeah.
Gotta be, right?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
It's gotta be less ugly.
It's <'cause, laughs> ugly no matter what, because it's that ugly lighting that Zack Snyder wanted. But it
cranking up
crushing all the colors. You crush it. Yeah, the white balance, and then everybody had high blood pressure. And then, like, you have... And it's just all over the place. So it's going to be ugly no matter what, and it's going to be.
I'm sure people.
HBO.
I mean, yeah. There's no way it won't be make
it's
money.
People that think of Zack Snyder as this like super auteur, heady, intelligent, and they don't. Yeah, but they like,
dude. But the people that think
like,
that
Nolan,
the
they,
people
like,
that. Like the height of writing, they think like fucking Batman's this fucking amazing thing.
Dees just lost.
And it's enjoyed them, but I mean, come on, get over yourself.
Well, it's in.
Well,
movies are
better.
Well,
the picture. Are you talking about that shit movies are based off of?
Yeah,
it's difficult to make. You know, do like what Nolan did and make Batman into a like
ridiculous
Batman,
conceit,
right? Whereas you know you have. Really interesting it's like a realistic story put in comic book form that yet it's been
they're making
it's been floating around forever.
I think they like nailed something down
hopefully movies and things like that. I watched also watched the original Terminator the other night. Gotten that Cameron had like written that movie and created, and I'm like oh, this concept, when you, I mean, how well it was done and stuff too. The one thing I did laugh about, though,
dude, he and the Abyss, which was horrendous for the actors, but he was pushing every
that movie on.
We're talking about the Terminator,
the first one, Terminator. The first. I mean, it's bumpy. It's 1984, but I mean, it's bumpy. It's good for the time. Dude, but I remember. So it opens up, you know, the future, 2029. I'm looking, I'm like, you know, Cyborg, there's no way America will be that nice in 9 years. I'm like, that's fucking, that'd be, I wish it would be like our lifetime or my lifetime, not your life, you guys' lifetime. But I mean,
their future prediction. Well, the original Blade Runner date was last year?
2019.
You look at 1980, you think, oh, almost 40 years.
Prognosticating on what's going to happen.
No, it was completely a figurative number. Well, get your head out of your asses. We could watch Primer. I mean, we can watch Primer for the fifth.
It's supposed to be great. I should watch it now as an adult.
Dude, it literally is one of all the movie. If there's any asshole who's like, time travel wouldn't actually work that way, all right, watch Primer, because that's the closest it'll ever fucking get to making sense.
Well, it bugs me when people are like, oh, illogical. It's like, dude, fucking time travel is illogical. We can't do it.
Yeah,
like fuck off. This is a movie, you fucking autistic weirdo.
Yeah, like people that watch. Back to the Future, and then they like get upset,
pick it apart.
Another movie, 2011 or whatever, I think was the year with hoverboards and everything, and all that. But I think it was just picking a time and then picking an aesthetic. Like Blade Runner was clever, and then that aesthetic got reused a billion times. Like as the future, when people think of the future, they think of that.
Well, what I lot. One of my,
they even did the same, it's like, aesthetic in Super Mario Brothers the movie. That's I feel like Blade it's Runner.
I feel like it's either Blade Runner or like Fifth Element, where it's like super bright, crazy mishmash of all the cultures.
For some reason, everything in the 80s, they thought the future would be neon, but also dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything's kind of dirty, still neon for some reason. One of my favorite time travel movies, not because it's a good movie, just because of the ridiculousness of it, is Time Cop with Van Damme. Because it's made in 94, but it's set in 2004.
10 years.
So they jumped some respect for that. Dude.
They jumped.
I do. Yeah. I legit
they're like,
have
in 10 years, we'll for sure have time travel.
I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be funny to make a fucking sci-fi future dystopian and then just put it in the past, though. Like, 2014 or something.
The
year is 2014.
Yeah. And then, it's like
the global unified government.
Yeah, exactly.
Any more confusing? I mean, it's not like it's going to make it any easier or more palatable. Like, fucking just pick it.
I just say just say like 20 years from now. That way, it's always timeless. You know,
True.
You know, that's kind of that's what I always say. I'm like, just say, 20 years from now. So when you watch it, 1989
Star Wars worked in a galaxy far, far away.
That might be the best part of Star Wars. That is a pimp move saying a long time ago. This is actually the best part of Star Wars, right there.
That's the best part.
That and Jar Jar.
Oh my God.
No, that and the guy that run hugs him, and he's his arms are like 4 feet longer than they should be because he's hugging this.
I want to call him Watto, but Watto's like the flying guy. What the fuck is?
I don't know. I've scrubbed those from my memory pretty hard. I
tried to watch episode 2 like a couple months ago, really stoned, and I was like, I cannot do this. Like,
it's rough, dude.
That's so ugly.
That's probably the worst one of all.
Six people laughing really hysterically.
What's the line?
The sand thing. Yeah.
The funny thing about sand, it's coarse and it gets everywhere. When they're
seen once. The other ones I've seen a couple times.
That's probably the one I've seen the most because we owned when it came out.
Space Bureaucracy.
I mean, well, we owned all the prequels because those were my Star Wars. What's more pathetic is being an adult and not being able to admit something you liked when you were a kid. Is age that got like an English degree and now have to justify Star Wars.
Why Attack of the
Time and just watch Star Trek like a fucking adult. Cleverly written dialogue, taking care of
social. Lame, dude.
Nerd.
just just TOS.
That one come chick. On, what's the chick on, with the TOS? That's what's perfect. The chick whose names are numbers and she has like the thing on her face? What's her name? Sevens of nines. Seven of nines.
Seven of nine.
God, she's hot.
About,
I don't know what that means.
Big old space titties.
So oh, I did tits. Watch Picard.
I haven't. Yeah,
Picard. It's just so weird saying it. And
it sounds like it's bad.
Discovery, that was bad. I watch Shudder, so I watch a shit ton of horror movies. The niche, fucking, it's Netflix for horror. So I've just been doing that, going over horror classics. Texas Chainsaw Massacre last night. I can never get enough of that.
I've watched a couple of the Friday the 13th movies. I've been working through those.
Yeah.
I got up to the New Blood with the telekinesis one.
New Blood?
Have you seen that one? It's like part 7?
The one where they kill him right away is part... God damn it. Well, 5 to like, and then there's
Jason goes to hell.
And then Jason X is in space.
Yeah,
which is,
that one's
which is
real
great
bad
that year. I think White Chicks came out the same year.
It was really odd. They made that one where the girl had telekinesis though, and I'm watching him going, all I do to fight, like she's like, well, how are you even almost getting caught by him when you have telekinesis?
Are you the one with Feldman?
No,
because Feldman, there.
That's not Friday the 13th.
That is Friday the 13th.
With Corey Feldman?
Yes.
No. It's the, I believe it's the 7th one, and it's this blonde, maybe it's not called the New Blood, but it is the 7th one.
Are you fucking, five, none of them called New Blood.
Five. Yeah, five, part 7 is called the New Blood.
Okay.
And yeah, it's plus several years have passed since Tommy Jarvis changed Jason Voorhees.
Shepherd Fairy.
Shepherd family. Young Tina Shepherd witnesses her alcoholic father physically abusing her. One.
Interesting.
And it's,
man,
like,
I am all fucked up on that.
Yeah. That
Feldman, but I thought the telekinesis part was with Corey Feldman as a kid. Only reason those are the movies where you just literally shut your brain off and mm-hmm. you're just there to
well,
watch
yeah.
people.
Feldman was in any of these movies.
Yes, he was.
Corey Feldman. Let's go to Corey Feldman.
He's the one that's alive.
He's the
still,
musician.
Right.
He's
famous for being a musician.
I was joking.
Okay.
Sam, Jesus
oh,
Christ.
He was in.
You got like, shocked. Oh. I was flabbergasted.
He was
that
in
you would
Friday,
think
I was
that.
Worried.
13th part. Made 9 more. the joke's on you. That should be like when the Eagles do like again. Everyone who bought tickets to the Hell Freezes Over tour should fucking do a class action lawsuit. Fry. And let's see.
Well, I mean,
the Rolling Stones probably. Wham! I don't know.
Wham! Who did a farewell tour
yeah.
that was like 4 years long or something, which I think is the best way to do it because
just make sure everyone gets a chance.
Yeah, they just left it open. Just keep going. Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Let's see. So the what else? This is something I want to talk about. How do you guys also movie related and TV show related too?
Mm-hmm.
But all this movies getting pulled from streaming services and shows getting pulled due to controversial content.
I think it's so lame.
Song of the South, obviously not put on Disney Plus. Gone with the Wind was pulled from HBO Max.
Song of the South, was it on there already?
No, they just didn't put it on there.
It
they
had
put
just
it, they
not
never
been
put it
on
there because of the problematic themes.
And Dumbo? Were the crows in
they
Dumbo?
Edited that part out.
God, that was
did
my,
they really?
That was
they,
my
yes,
favorite.
They edited,
really?
Yeah, they went back and edited.
That was my favorite
show.
Thing to just crush some poor defenseless girls that I dated at the time's dreams about how much she loves old Disney cartoons.
Oh,
show her
show
that scene
yeah.
in Dumbo. And
it's just like, it is such a like puritanical approach to it, and the fact
right.
that liberals are taking it is just like mind-blowing, because it's just like, it's like, okay, fine, like obviously it's stuff that today is distasteful and wrong, but like to just like whitewash our history and just like take it out of there, that to me that seems retarded. Like it's just like, it's, oh, let's pretend like it never happened by fucking wiping it off the face of the earth.
Right.
Not saying it's the same thing, but Tiananmen Square, which is wiped from
Chinese
well, state-run media, but I mean, we're not getting that. It seems like we're getting closer to that all the time.
And it's just like I'm fine with getting rid of statues of like Confederate leaders, because it's like, fuck them, they lost. Like that's like we don't need a statue to remember them. We have history books too.
Right.
But like how are you supposed to watch that stuff for a historical or like find a used copy? Like if most people are streaming,
there's no way to.
Which is kind of dangerous when you start taking away that type of
And then I think just ones there's like Tina Fey got out ahead and pulled, did blackface and her show. I don't know if they pulled that from Comedy Central stuff.
I would assume there probably are.
Like when that stuff aired, everyone was fine with it because they knew the context of it being this comedic deconstruction of so much so that you think it should not be there.
Right.
To me, is just like, it's like, okay,
you know, you bring up Sarah Silverman and the blackface thing. So like Jimmy Fallon, his Chris Rock thing that unearthed fucking footage, it unearthed from a sketch of DVD.
Yeah.
Like
and,
that, like
and it's not like he wrote people are like Jimmy Fallon,
and
you apologize.
You know,
Jimmy Kimmel.
Something or probably,
and I mean
probably close to, it was early 2000s, so or like 90s.
And it's just like, and the thing that like gets me with this is just like that sustainable, or like it's just like everyone's waiting for to have any dirt on anyone else. It's like, dude, you can't trust anyone in that culture because they will eat themselves alive.
Yeah.
It's just like it was like someone was complaining about needing to cancel someone, and then they went through his tweet history and was like, dude, fuck you.
That's part of the problem is when they call the term progressive, it means they're constantly progressing, and it's we're never done. So they always have to find something else to fix, and something else is not okay. That's why the language is constantly changing. And as soon as you catch up with this word, well, now it's this term. And it's like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel was a guy who was probably one of the most outspoken and like liberal and open, and, you know, everyone says he's the nicest guy in the world, but, you know, he's taken out to the woodshed for a sketch about, you know, playing Carl Malone. And
well, the thing is, I don't think he really, like, he apologized, like, he's not canceled, like, he apologized and everyone's
from thing to thing. But I mean, there was a big thing on Twitter about cancel Jimmy Kimmel, this and that. It's like, to any of us in this room to really, really say, but I think playing a black person, like blackface is like the minstrel shows, what's his name,
Birth of a Nation,
and like, you know, I mean, caricature of of, you know, in playing this character, I'm playing a person, like that's it.
They did it
on Sunny.
It's Always Sunny.
Yeah,
which one was more racist?
I think they pulled it. Also, there was an episode of D being Puerto Rican.
She does that like five episodes.
So much a snapshot, not a snapshot. That is so much a deconstruction to be a white guy. They're terrible people.
Right.
They play terrible people.
Yeah,
and so. But then again, as adults come to a point where we're like, yeah, we're fine with changing the lines in the sand.
And the way, and also the consequences for this stuff, too, I think is just...
Is that what's going to happen? Or should we address it? Or should we just apologize?
So silly, like, I don't remember who said this. There's a quote, but it's just like, if you judge, be made yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it's just
it's
just one of those things where it's just like... Like, you're an adult with that should be able to think critically about something, and you should be able, there's history, and there might be value here, even though there's all these problems with it, and that it's fine.
Like, and I know, because I think it's historically, in film, in culture, I think it's historically the same, and to completely wipe it out, even though this isn't, like, the most fair out of the history, but why can't we show, like, I don't be able to laugh at that. Like, yeah, be offended, that's fine, but just know that
Burton, Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, dude, these are like such, these are using those words for a specific reason.
Right.
And it's like, how is that not like censorship? Like you're fucking, it's ridiculous.
Well, anytime, and, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and it's like these people nowadays, they want all art to be didactic. They want it to teach a lesson, and they want it to teach a lesson that they agree with.
Right.
Like, it always, it has to be teaching lessons and teaching lessons we agree with. And it's just like, dude, so you just want everything to be the same?
Well, like, everything has to make you feel good. And if it makes anyone feel a little bad, like, there's, it's the critical thinking is a big part of it. I mean, being able to look at things and just kind of, deconstruct or like kind of dissect the context. And I think, to me, it's always been about not what people say or do. It's about intent. And like, if someone told me someone was an arsonist, but I've never seen them strike a match with, like, no, in their heart, they're an arsonist. I'm like, I don't need to see you burn something before I fucking throw the book at this guy. Like, it's the intent. Is your intent to hurt? Is your intent to hold behind your words and actions? Then we have an issue. You know, if you're writing a book, like you said, like Huck, you're talking, you know, I mean, yeah, guess what? People back then spoke that way about remake Roots and make everyone fucking make it so like they were really kind to them, because it makes you feel to censor that.
I think that's a bunch of people.
Oh, I have answers.
No. Know what offends them, but say it. It's like the Hitler thing, like Patrice O'Neill saying about like white people for slavery, comparing it to Jews forgiving Germany. There was no Hitler for slavery, so mm-hmm. they don't have one have a person to do it. So they're constantly moving line. There's never gonna be. It's one of those like word vomit things where it's like, as soon as I start talking about it, I'm like, so stupid. Why the fuck am I? But then I'm like, no, but can't cower and be a dick at the same time.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think there's a vocal minority of people, and it's a lot of people online that are like, you know, East Coast, West Coast liberal elitists that think that they are speaking for, you know, a silent majority. And I don't think that they actually are.
Yeah.
And it just feels like they're so out of touch with most people. And I think out of touch with a lot of the rest of the world, like every now and then, like when I'm online in a Reddit thread or something, and it'll just be like, someone having a problem with a piece of media, a woke problem.
Yeah,
then there'll always no doubt be at least one or two comments from Europeans that are just like, oh my God, you Americans are so obsessed with penitence. Like, you have to feel bad about everything. And I totally get that. And like, I just see like this woke movement, just like, it's like, okay, you guys are just the religious right. Only you don't have a promise at the end for everlasting life.
Right.
Like, you are a worse version of religion to me. Yeah. Like, and that's what it is. It's like this wokeism is just like, it's religion for a secular crowd.
Yeah.
It's here are the rules, follow them or fuck you.
Yeah.
And it's always demanding forgiveness, but never, you know, or it's always demanding atonement, but never giving forgiveness. And it's just like, it's unsustainable.
Well, yeah. And this idea that like that you can never work again. If you have one transgression, it's like,
Jesus.
You know, mm-hmm. it's like that fucking episode of the Twilight Zone, like Billy wishing guys out to the cornfield, never to be seen again.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's gone crazy. And I, you know, it's people, and I mean, I've always considered myself a pretty progressive guy and pretty liberal guy, but the farther this goes, I'm like, dude, I didn't move. I didn't move. I'm still where I've been. It's the progressives that have gone way farther crazy to the other mm-hmm. side and doing things that I'm like, I'm not down with that. I can't do that. It's too nuts. There's no,
yeah.
Like Sam said, you're just as bad as the other side. You're just as polarizing. You're just as hateful, and, if not more hateful. They're more hateful and disdainful of people.
And they almost feed off each other, because you just get another side that says, "Well, fuck you."
Yeah.
Because that's what I feel like. That's all breeding.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like on some level, it's just like. It's people want to feel, especially like those liberal progressive people, they want to feel like they are fighting a good fight.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I think, like, in my opinion, the truth is a lot of that identity politics stuff would be less of a problem. It's used as a tool by people that want to keep capitalism in place, that are at the top of the pyramid, that want to keep us too busy fighting with each other,
right,
to level that playing field out, and they just fall right into that plan of fighting with each other over stuff that would be taken. A lot of it would be not erased, but a lot of it would be lessened if we were all had more comfort and more security in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
And
God, as long as I can keep making fun of me and my tiny dick, then this will work out perfectly.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah, no.
No one will take
not to be a cliche, but making fun of straight white dudes will always be on the table.
Yeah. That's...
Thank God.
But it's just in regards to comedy, it's just like, I just think it's so lame where we've gotten, where it's just like. Dude, it's a joke. Like, the idea of punching down is so dumb to me. It's like, so these people can't take a joke. They can't be teased at all. They can't be treated like other people.
Right.
Because it's like, dude,
there's no nuance.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's like a kind of a lame example, but it's like, with your friends, you shit on them all the time. Yeah. You shit on each other. You make jokes at their expense, and they know that in the context of a joke, it's not that serious. But you can't make jokes about these people, or these people. And it's just like, well, how come? They're people. People make jokes about each other. Like it's literally just, it's a joke. It's teasing. Like fucking what?
But no, that era is over. You have to go by the guidelines of what they think is funny and they want to hear.
Who's they? Tell me.
I don't know.
And now I'll change. Fucking
well, and
shit.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's always the line is always the goalposts are always
it's
moving.
It's always moving. That's what I was saying. Yeah. It's just like it's always like.
And it's like that's the thing. It's like
in quicksand.
I'm pretty much, I would say, like, I support 75% of what I hear for trans rights. Like, I'm totally fine with all that shit, but I think you should be able to make fun of them too.
Yeah.
Just because.
Sure.
Can I say?
Because in the context of a joke, it's like fuck, I'm making a joke.
Yeah. Well, in that, you know, it becomes where what, you know, if I get some groups of. As marginalized groups, mm-hmm. But part of being equal is we all equal. Equality is, hey, I'm making fun of you, you make fun of me. There's no spite, there's no malice. There's just we are all equal, but we're all equally able to, you make
and it's like you're talking about an intent before, and people are, and it's just like hateful ideas,
yeah,
and it's just like. Well, I think anyone are like, hell yeah, I agree with that hateful sentiment and accountable for people misinterpreting it. Yeah.
Right. Also, no,
it's like art shouldn't be held accountable for. Like, well, yeah, that's like Bill Burr talks about that. There's the billboards that are just like
stop. Yeah, end war bumper stickers.
Like there are jokes that are racist that happen to be funny and offensive.
Yeah.
Like, you can be offensive and not funny. It can be not offensive and not funny. Then you end up with fucking Hannah Gadsby's in a net.
I haven't seen it. But it's also Michael Richards saying the N-word on stage to Louis saying the N-word on stage. Yeah. It's like there's an odd...
Their career, the other one's career was going down.
And it's just like...
Wait, what? Isn't that what put out a hit in a while? Louis C.K. had
trapped in the closet
Louis
part 27.
Louis C.K. had a show. That is very true. There's a huge difference. And I think everyone in they would be like, one was clearly offensive.
Yeah. It
just...
Race relationships and perspectives and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like each other gaylords.
Yeah.
Like it's just a funny word.
Right.
And like the idea of I can't do that in, you know, mixed company.
I'm gonna have to edit this part out of the show.
I deleted my social media before I don't need them to even just seeing a link to one of these podcasts
I can't wait until my bid for mayor really ramps up and people do some digging. All right. Well, I got to piss really bad, guys. So I think we're going to wrap up here. That's enough of our BS for the evening. Sam, when you're back in town, come back on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
You leave. Well, I'll talk to you. She'll figure it out. When you come back, we'll get you back on the show. Good luck to you.
Down for sure.
I'm sure it's going to be a good change of pace. The sun, I'm a little jealous of that. Lucas, I don't know if anyone has anything coming up because everything's pretty much
everything's
down, so.
Up in the air. I fucking may do a Zoom thing. Everyone, it's like that comes up as an option. I'm gonna be on a Zoom call with my doctor. if you get in there with my social worker, it's pretty hilarious. We get fun.
Yeah.
have fun with
her. She yes ands pretty well.
She's good to bat with.
But just keep
not that I'm promoting hitting women. God damn it. That's not what I meant.
Hitting they.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But guys, go to Dee's Comedy. Just follow the page. There's stuff coming up. Podcast is now 2 days a week. Tuesdays.
God,
and
you
Thursdays.
Are bored.
I got the time, man. You know what? It took me a global pandemic to realize I could do this show via Zoom. I've done so many Zoom interviews.
Have you?
Yeah. So I'm like,
download your podcast. I never listen to it. I'll just download it. Yeah.
It's been great. I mean, I have had more time and I'm like, well, I've got the studio and I can do it through Zoom.
Almost tailored for that.
And then the Social Minute, guys, every Monday, check that out too. You can find that on Dee's Comedy on Social Hour and the YouTube page and stuff too. So, otherwise dates will be coming, eventually. Hopefully. So, all right, guys, for the Social Hour, I am decent for Sam and Lucas. Thanks, guys.
And yeah, thank you.
No problem, man. And
thank you very much.
You betcha.
And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to the CIA, Spencer's, DJ Khaled, Spike Lee, Clive Owen, Time Cop, and Space Tits. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production
and part of the Pants Pending Studios Podcast Network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!